Today's mailbag comes from Marlene. Banking bandwidth. Before I joined Organize 365, I knew I needed to get organized to make my life easier, of course, but I didn't realize some types of organizing are much more beneficial. Lisa's ideas on the holidays, in particular, have really been a game changer for me. The idea of banking bandwidth, as I call it, do things now that will make future life so much easier, especially for times when I know I am likely to be stressed and running on fumes, like the holidays. I have been sick for the last two Christmases, and my dear family did the decorating, which is usually my job. I loved what they did and took photos, not really thinking about why. This year, thankfully, I was healthy for the holiday season, but so stressed with no bandwidth to be creative. After listening to the Blitz, I looked at the holidays with a different perspective, and I realized I had the photos of where things looked good last year, and I could just put them back. Oh my goodness, I had the house done in no time, and it was so easy. I didn't have to think. What a gift. And I noted which ornaments and decor came out of which storage bin, so I didn't have to dread thinking about where to put it back all after the holidays. The little extra time of taking or making notes and photos has already been a game changer, and instead of being grumpy and behind, I have things done, and I am so grateful to know that next year, if I have the bandwidth to be creative, I can be, and if I don't, I can still get it done with ease. Thank you, Lisa. Truly, happy holidays.
Do you have an Organize 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Well, I did it. I started school. I'm going back to school the next 4 years or so to earn my PhD in psychology, and I thought it'd be interesting for me to record a podcast just to do a verbal diary of how am I staying organized, how am I fitting it all in, how am I getting it all done, how do I hope to get it all done during this PhD experience. Some of you have been on this Organize 365 journey with me from the very beginning, and I want to take you along on how I am staying organized and hopefully sane during this next four-year journey. If this doesn't interest you, you can just skip over these podcasts. But to be honest, these are the kind of podcasts that when podcasters record them, I listen to multiple times because we don't realize how much we reveal about ourselves when we just talk about our everyday life. So if that interests you, grab a cup of coffee and let's get started. First things first. I am not actually accepted into a PhD program yet, but I do keep saying that I'm going to school for 4 years to get my PhD because that is my intention and that is my intent. So I applied to Fielding University in Santa Barbara. They have an asynchronous online learning program. They actually have since the 70s. Like, this is how their business model was set up by their founders, specifically for business owners, actually, which is fascinating that they were so ahead of their time. Business owners like me who want to be able to do research and are not going to be clinical psychologists. Most of the people in my class are going to be clinical psychologists, and that's the PhD program that they're trying to get into. I am trying to get into a general psychology PhD program that will allow me to be the lead researcher in research like the research Organize 365 has already undertaken. So the research that Organize 365 undertook in 2001 and 2002, I did under the direction of Sarah Dyson. I hired her as my lead researcher, and then I peppered her with 80,000,000 questions. And I'm so glad I did, because as I'm starting to read my textbooks, I already have some information about this because I've actually conducted research with Sarah's help. And we've already published our research as well, which is super, super amazing. But when I applied last summer to be a doctoral candidate, I wasn't ready and I was not accepted. But luckily, Fielding University has a post-baccalaureate program that is specifically designed to get you ready to be a PhD candidate. It was actually created at Fielding under the dean that I'm going to be working with. And so I will be taking classes all this year, three trimesters of classes, in order to reapply at Fielding to be a PhD candidate. When I reapply and when I am accepted will depend on how quickly I learn the information, how much time I'm able to devote to my studies, and when my professors think that I will be ready. And I may not be ready for a while. So whenever they feel like I'm ready and that I can reapply, that's when I will do it. So one of the things I realized is that only 3 to 7% of any PhD application gets accepted, which is like a really low percentage. But after you do this post-baccalaureate program, you have an 87% chance of being accepted as a PhD candidate, both at Fielding or another institute of your choice. So it really is amazing. And I have to thank Holly for telling me about Fielding's program to begin with. So thank you, Holly. So that's where I'm going. This year, I will take 6 classes. 3 of those classes are actually doctoral level classes. So when I am accepted into the PhD program, and I'm just going to keep speaking as if it's already happened, but just know that it hasn't, if you are really into the technical details or listening and you're a classmate of mine. I know I'm not a PhD candidate yet, but I do intend to be. So 3 of my classes will matriculate, which means they will count. So I will already have 3 of my classes done. So how am I preparing for this? I have to say that, first of all, I am so blessed, and I did not realize until I started orientation how blessed I am, that when I was denied admission into the PhD program, I was immediately offered the opportunity to do this post-baccalaureate program. So I was just like, oh, add a year, you know, sign up, like I'm doing this. Most people would get that rejection and then that would just, I mean, where do you go from there? So if you have been in that situation, Fielding may be a good opportunity for you and this post-baccalaureate program may be good for you as well. So once I was accepted in the post-baccalaureate program, they do not give you any information about any of your classes until after Christmas, and I was accepted like in October. You guys all know how well I do with not enough things to do. So at home, I got all of our scrapbooks up to date. They were 5 years behind. I did Grayson's scrapbook. I did 80 million puzzles. I put my last puzzle away. I reorganized the house like you would not believe. I cleaned out every drawer. I just, any project, there's literally not a single project in my house left to do because I know that I won't have time to do projects. So I either got them done or I just got rid of them. So there's no work to be done at home as far as projects. And I was so ready to be talking to my classmates and to be in academia. And I know that I don't think like an academic, although I can already feel myself changing into that more detail-oriented, specified vocabulary, fill-in-the-holes description thinking that I think is where academia is leading me to. I was like, well, the only way I know how to immerse myself into a new population of people is like to fake it. Like to listen to podcasts about getting a PhD and to read books about getting a PhD. You guys, I'm doing exactly what you're doing right now. Like, exactly. Really, honestly, we live in such an amazing time that we can do this. Like, podcasts are like magical. Like, I am your friend. I am your friend. I might be your best friend. And I listen to podcasts and I feel like they are my best friend too, because I know everything about that podcaster more than they realize that they have revealed in their podcast. I understand how they think, what they're doing. I often usually will follow anyone that I am really interested in podcasting, also on social media, because I like to see the other side of their life. And if possible, I will follow their spouse. You should know Greg is not on social media, so you can't follow him. But like I've mentioned many times, I follow Sarah Blakely and I also follow Jesse Itzler, and they are married. And I love seeing, like, they will even share the same experience through different perspectives. So the podcasts that I found that I really liked, the first one, one of you, again, emailed me about this. And thank you so much. Like, I am open to every email, every suggestion. Doesn't mean I have to do them. I have a whole pink slash pocket of just the ideas you guys have sent me or time hacks, because so many of you have also gone through higher ed as an adult. So the first podcast that was referred to me was called the Happy Doc Podcast. I love it. It was fantastic. I listened to almost all of the episodes, and some of the episodes I'm like, how do I remember I need to listen to this when I'm doing my dissertation like 3 years from now? Then I started searching, like, what are other PhD-related podcasts? And none of these did I listen to all of the episodes, but I listened to many episodes of How to PhD, The PhD Life Raft, and PhD Pending. So they're all really good. If you want some free resources and you want to have more pretend colleagues, you can listen to those podcasts. I really, really enjoyed them. Then after I buzzed through all those podcasts, and still like the middle of December, now I'm listening to audiobooks, like 2 audiobooks a week. I have a lot of capacity, and I am going to do a podcast later this summer, probably about like, how did I increase my energy? My energy and capacity is really like unbelievable. And I created that over time. So I am thinking about how to present that to you. But as I was looking through books, I was like, well, are there any like memoirs on getting your PhD? And of course, there aren't very many. But I did find one, and it was called A PhD Roller Coaster, A Diary of the Ups and Downs of Being a Doctoral Student. And I listened to that book, and it was great. And it wasn't like I was listening to these books to make my decision of whether or not I was going to get a PhD. I'd already made my decision. I was listening to these books and podcasts as in, okay, this is what is coming. How can I prepare myself to be as successful as possible and to get this PhD with as much ease as possible? Now, I have a couple of things going for me. Number one, I'm a business owner. I'm in charge of my own time. So I am able to do a lot of my PhD work during the day. I know that is not possible for everyone. Secondly, I have already organized my entire company and my entire life around thematic days. And Mondays and Thursdays for the last couple of years have been non-meeting deep work days for me. And so making those Mondays and Thursdays now school-oriented really will not change very much inside of the company as long as I could still find enough time to record podcasts. Other than that, my Mondays and Thursdays were really on networking, and I will be giving up some networking and things like that, and growth, and other courses and masterminds that I would have been a part of that I have dropped out of all of those. So that's really going for me. Also, I'm a business owner who wants to do research. So this is a strategic initiative of Organize 365. So it makes sense that I would be spending work hours doing this. Now, with that said, I have been counseled to have about 30 hours of time for my PhD on my calendar. And I have blocked out that much time. So I've blocked out all day Monday, all day Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday nights, all night, and 6 hours on Saturday. And when I add all that up, I get to 30 or 32 hours a week. Now, I might not need all of that time, but if I need it, I won't be able to find it if I don't block it out to begin with. So I have blocked out all of that time on my calendar. The way that I transition from one life stage to another, and this is a huge, as I was going through it, I was like, oh, wow, this is much more of a big life shift than I realized. My house is as clean and organized as it has been in a decade. And the only other times when I have been this clean and organized down to like no projects left to do was when I was adopting my children. you know how you have like that nesting of like, I better get everything done that I could possibly get done because the children are coming. It's very similar to that. And I would say the only other time where I think I've had a little bit of this was when our grandson was born 1.5 years ago. I really made sure I had everything off my plate. I wasn't needed at the office for the whole month after he was supposed to be born. And then, of course, he came 1 month early. And I did not need as much time as I had blocked off to support Abby and be a grandmother. But I was glad that I had blocked it off. And then I allowed work to creep back into that time as Abby and Grayson didn't need it. And that's how I like to plan my calendar. How do I prioritize what is most important and what has to get done? And then if I get it done quicker or I don't need that much time, then I use that time to bring back a puzzle, to bring back an audiobook that I want to listen to whatever, so I could go backwards. I spent between Thanksgiving and the start of my PhD program reorganizing my calendar probably every 3 or 4 days. Like every 3 or 4 days, I'd go in and be like, okay, no, I want this block to be here. No, I want this block to be here. No, I think I'll have more energy to do this here. And that activity of moving around these fake blocks on my calendar really helped me to internalize how much time getting a PhD was going to take and how much I was going to need to be more strategic and intentional with what things I did and did not do inside of Organize 365. And so the leadership team has taken on more responsibilities. We hired a few more people and everything is going well for my orientation week, but I know it's going to go well after that. The next thing that I did was I thought about my personal habits, because I often will tell you, and I go in, I mean, most of planning day is all about what are your habits and how are your habits supporting the person that you are and want to be in the future, because 85% of our life is habitual. And so what your habits are will inform what your life is like. And the more you can habitualize your routines, the less decision-making capacity you need to use on anything that is routine or rote. But changing a routine is really hard, especially if you've had a routine for a long time. And I know with most of the people I've talked to that have been through higher education or had a doctoral degree recently, they've all told me their brain is mush. By the time you get to the end of your doctorate, like, you don't even know your name anymore. And I'm like, oh, I need to know my name. I need to be able to speak on camera. Like, oh no, I need my brain. So because of that, I really was like, okay, so for this next season, which is 4 years, how do my morning, afternoon, and evening routines need to change? And how can I start changing those now so that they can become habitual and a lot of those things don't need to be thought about and can just happen on autopilot? So food is something I have been working on this routine for a while. I have the same granola bar every morning and coffee, and then I have a zone protein bar around 10 or 11. And now my lunch is always like this chicken fried rice with chicken and a whole bunch of vegetables. And that works for me. I am one of those really weird people that can literally eat the same food for a decade and still want to eat it the next day. Like, not a problem. The only thing I'm noticing, because I will be up until 10, 11, sometimes 12 o'clock at night because of these classes, is that I don't eat dinner anymore because Greg and I were going to bed between 8 and 9. That's not happening. So I was thinking two things. One, I would love to get better dinners for Abby and Grayson at night, even though Greg and I aren't eating. And two, I probably should have something to sustain me into the evenings, and I'm going to have to play a little bit with that. So I talked to Abby about casseroles. I love casseroles. The baby will easily be able to eat any casserole that we have. Abby likes casseroles. Greg doesn't like casseroles, but also Greg doesn't eat dinner. So we had this conversation. A casserole is something that is really great for Abby to learn how to make. They can be made ahead on Sunday and then you throw them in. So I'll talk to you in a minute about how casseroles are going to figure into my day here also. So I'm going to work on casseroles, coming home from work, and we'll have a casserole for dinner. My morning routine. The difference in my morning routine, I'm realizing, is my morning routine is the only time of day that I will consistently have, as long as I don't push my morning back, which I might push my morning back to waking up later, with Greg to talk before the beginning of a workday. And then also, it's where I can get some deep work thinking time in. So I used to talk to Greg and then listen to a podcast, but now I'm realizing I can talk to Greg, and then if I finish getting ready, drive to work or whatever I'm doing that day, and really finish doing some deep work thought, I can get further faster. So for example, the notes for this podcast, I was getting ready in the morning and I was thinking about talking to you about starting my PhD. And I was like, okay, I want to tell them this. I want to tell them this. I want to tell them this. And in the past, what I would do is I mentally rehearse my podcast 2 or 3 times. And then I come into the office, I write down all the notes I remember, and then I record the podcast. And I was like, Lisa, you don't have that kind of time anymore. Like, you have all these great stories that you want to share. You need to write these down now. So I stopped doing my hair and I got out some index cards and I wrote down all these notes of this podcast I want to talk to you about. And I was like, you need to stop doing things halfway or part of the way so that you finish them later. So ironically, even though I'm going to have less time in any category of my life, I am becoming more disciplined already in starting and completing things all in one sitting. Now, I will tell you, I don't think there's any other time in my life where I possibly could have even been like this kind of a person, because there were just way too many last minute demands, reactive work, unplanned things coming my way to stop what I'm doing in the morning, take notes, and then take that 15 minutes from somewhere else. Or work on a project, like I'll work on my paper. I have somebody checking it for grammar, because we all know how good I am with that. And then pointing out holes in my writing so that I could do more writing. I'm doing that all in one sitting. In the past, I would have done that, you know, in 30-minute chunks over the course of a week or a couple of weeks. So that's one thing I'm noticing, is that in the morning, before I get started with my day, if I get an idea, I'm going to stop getting ready and I'm going to write that idea down so that I don't lose my ideas. I already write ideas down, as in like record a podcast on my PhD experience, but I don't normally sit down and write all of the bullet points as they're coming to my brain. So that's how I'm changing my morning routine. My afternoon routine. After I got my school list, which I got like right before Christmas, I found out that my classes on Thursday are going to go till midnight. I had a heart attack. Then I moved on. And I was like, okay, Lisa, you've got to figure out how to keep yourself awake past 9 p.m. Because since the pandemic, like Greg and I have been going to bed like we're kindergartners. We used to stay up, but now we don't. And so I was like, all right, I was trying to make myself stay up at night and it just was not working. I was like, well, maybe I won't get up at 6:30, which so far I'm still getting up at 6:30. And then finally, as my orientation week started, I was like, you're just going to have to take a nap like you're two. So I come home from work, take a nap like you're two, and then do your evening activities. So my afternoon routine that I'm going to try for this trimester, which is what I always say in planning day, we're just planning for one trimester, one, you know, 120-day cycle, is this. I'm going to leave work around 3:30, 3:45. Normally, I leave work at 4:30. That's when the last person leaves our office, but I'm going to leave a little earlier, 3:30, 3:45, which will get me home every day by 4 o'clock. Normally, I get home between 4:45 and 5. So the reason why I'm getting home early is so I could take a rest. If I get home at my normal time and take a rest, that would work for me, but it would eliminate my time seeing Grayson. And I really want to see Grayson because, come on, he's cute and I love him. But also, Abby needs the break. I mean, she really does need the break. Can you imagine? And I know she needs the break. So I'm going to leave 3:30, 3:45. I'll get home at 4. And then from 4 to 5 is my rest time. And so I'm going up on my bed and I'm turning on my sound machine and I'm closing my eyes. And so far, I've done it twice and I've fallen asleep both times, just for 15 minutes. But you'd be amazed. A 20-minute nap can get me so far. So that's number one. I'm taking a rest time. Now, I told you about the casseroles a little bit earlier. So this is how I task stack and especially new habits. So this is a whole new habit that I'm creating. And so I am figuring out all the things that need to go with this. So when I get home from work at 4 o'clock, now we eat at 5, Grayson eats at 5, 4 o'clock, I'll take whatever casserole we have and put it in the oven because they usually take an hour to cook. If it's sooner than that, then Abby can grab it out. She's always home around that time. So I'll put the casserole in and then I'll go upstairs and I'll take a nap. And then I set my timer to wake up by 4:55 if I haven't already naturally woken up. Now, here's one thing that I'm adding in just for me. If I wake up, I'm not going downstairs before 5 o'clock, because just laying on your bed and resting, I think, is as restorative as sleeping sometimes. And I just need that transition. And I'm realizing what I'm creating is a second day. I literally am creating a second day because I am sleeping, even if it's just a little bit, and I'm waking up and I'm starting a whole new little routine and getting ready for my school day, which is in the evening. So I'm going to check my Instagram or whatever I want to do if I have time. And then I'll come down at 5 o'clock, eat dinner with the family, play with Grayson until around 5:30, 6, 6:30, whatever works in the schedule that day. So that is my new afternoon routine. Then, if possible, and this is what I already do, I'm going straight upstairs and taking my hot bath, which I love to take. And I love to take it right after dinner. I don't want to take it like at 11 o'clock at night. Also, I'm 50 years old, so I don't want to go to school in my pajamas. Not that I think you should go to school in your pajamas, but if it goes till midnight in your house. But anyways, so I am going to take my hot bath, and I've decided I'm washing the makeup off and everything. And then I went to Talbot's the other day, and I bought myself a school uniform. Totally did. It's all black and white. It has these black jogger pants. So they're like sweatpants, little jogger pants with pockets. And then I, you know, kind of, you know, my typical classy, dressy-ish type tops. So little, a couple different black and white striped, a turtleneck, a regular shirt, a little black sweater. I got a little black jacket. So like, not like I'm in the office, but also not like I'm laying in bed, because I won't be laying in bed. So after my hot bath, I'm getting dressed for school. And then if it's a school night, if not, I'll put my pajamas on. On a school night, I'll get dressed for school. And I'm putting on a little bit of makeup because I just can't. You guys, I went through the entire pandemic where we were in lockdown every day. I took a shower and put makeup on. I feel better that way. I just do. So a little bit of makeup, not my full makeup, going to school. And after that, I'll just wash my makeup off, put my pajamas on and go to bed. So that is how I've changed my afternoon and evening routines. Okay. So I will be doing my schoolwork to begin with in the morning on Monday. On Monday, I hope to be home all day doing my schoolwork. But with the dog home and the baby home, I'm not sure if that's going to work or not. So we'll see. But once Grayson gets in daycare, which he's been on a waiting list for a while, then my plan is all day on Monday, I'll be home doing deep work. Thursday, I take Hunter to daycare, so I plan on coming into the office at least until noon, doing my schoolwork in the office, and I may stay all day in the office or not. I have a lot of editing to do, so going back and forth with the person who's helping me with grammar is helpful. It can be done remotely, but I also like to do it in person. So those are the days that I'm going to be doing. Sleep. I have been obsessive about my sleep the past couple of years, and I have really gotten to the point where I'm sleeping a ton, like 9 hours a night. And I was wondering how I was going to maintain that in this season of life. And I've decided I'm not. I am just going to believe that I banked all that time in 2022 and 2021 for a reason. There was a reason where I got so much more sleep than I have in the past. I'm going to give myself a rest time every day of the week. I think 7 days a week. In this next 120 days, it'll be my experiment of having a nap every day from 4 to 5, just laying on my bed from 4 to 5, or at least half an hour of that time. And if need be, waking up later. Today, I did wake up at 7:15 instead of 6:30. So waking up a little bit later and just playing around with it and seeing where my sleep capacity is and where it doesn't need to be. Now, when you're saying, how are you fitting all of this in? You need to know I have no social life. I never have had a social life. I'm a nerd. Talking to you is my social life. Talking to you on Instagram, seeing you at a paper organizing retreat. Like, Greg and I have just never been very social people. I don't go out to dinner. I just don't. So we don't have a social life. So there's nothing that I'm getting rid of there. And I exited a few of the mastermind and networking groups that I was in. One of them didn't let me leave, so I'm still in that one, but we'll see how that goes. So I already was home most of this time, and I was just using all this time for learning and mastermind groups and networking and or doing strategic things inside of Organize 365. All right, so a couple of things that I was concerned about until I got my syllabuses yesterday and I mapped out all of my assignments and all of my readings. Oh my goodness, it is like this is an ordained experience for me. I just have to tell you. First of all, when I got the calendar of when the classes were, I could not believe that they perfectly match up with the Productive Home Solution schedule. Like when we are doing planning day and we have planning week in the Productive Home Solution, I'm never in class and then classes start again. So I just have like 2 weeks off in between each session. My trimesters are 15 weeks long. And then the 2 weeks that we're not in school are when we have planning day for the Productive Home Solution, which is amazing to me, which is awesome. So I'll be able to reset my house, reset my routines, have those 2 weeks off. I am hoping that Greg and I can do a quick trip down to Florida during my first break. And somebody counseled me. They said, you know, if you can have like trips or rewards or things like that for your family during your breaks, that can be really helpful. I am traveling, I would say, quite a bit this trimester. So in February, I will be in Florida in Tampa at a conference, speaking at a conference. In March, I am going to Missouri and South Carolina to speak at the Greater Homeschool Convention. And we're doing a certification event and a paper organizing retreat. Hope you guys will come see us. In April, we're doing the homeschool convention in Cincinnati. And I think that's it. Where's my little list? Let me grab my little list and see, because I put this all in my, in the Productive Home Solution, we have you map out your 4 months so you could see it all at a glance. Yeah. Okay. And then there's that trip with Greg. Oh, and then there are two other events. I have one that will have just happened by the time you listen to this, and then one that's going to happen at the end of April, right before the end of my trimester, which are our quarterly planning events inside of Organize 365. We do those in trimesters as well. And because of the holidays, there'll be two this cycle. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 travel events. Already, because of when my classes are, I know I will not miss any classes. And then, oh my goodness, I cannot even believe it. I looked at all of my classes that I have the syllabuses for. I have the two classes, but I don't have research lab yet. And those classes, ironically, or, you know, God incidentally, when I'm traveling in March, 2 weeks out of the month, those 2 weeks I have no assignments due. I mean, is that not perfect or what? I'm like, this is like so awesome. I'm so excited. So that is one challenge. Some of the things I plan on doing is copying out the chapters of my book if I need to read them on the road, but I'm going to be driving to Missouri and driving to South Carolina, so it won't be hard to bring my books with me. The only time I would need to bring them with me is when I fly to Florida. I am going to work ahead. You can work ahead in a lot of these classes, so I'll work ahead. And then also, I've said it before, I love my Chromebook. So I work on desktop computers at home and at the office. I have two desktop computers, and I even got an Apple computer. I don't love it. I don't love it. Joey's like, you're going to love it. I don't. I don't love it, Joey. I love my $400 Chromebook that I got from Verizon. That is what I love. I love my Chromebook, and there are so many reasons why I love my Chromebook. Number one, it is a Verizon Chromebook, which means that it's like a cell phone. Like it always has internet. I don't have to connect to Wi-Fi. No, I always have internet. I love that. It works in, like if I were to sit outside and work on my computer, the Chromebook has a brightness where you could still see your screen. I don't know. I just love it for so many reasons. But that Verizon part is going to be really key so that I can attend my classes when I'm not in Cincinnati. Okay, and then the last thing that I wanted to talk to you about is how am I organizing all of my data and documents? So I have more data and documents than most people do that are starting in my class. Well, I don't know. I don't know what they have, but I could tell you what I'm organizing. So for me, I'm organizing, I'm in research lab, and then I'm in two psychology courses. So I have three classes. So I've taken a set of 1.0 slash pockets, and just like I teach kids to do in the Lisa binder, I'm doing the same thing for me. So research lab is on Monday, so its color is red. And also I'll be in research lab like until I graduate. So that's always going to be red now. And red is the school color of Fielding. And I have a red workbox. It's all going to be great. So everything Fielding research lab related will be red. The next color is orange. So on Wednesday is my next class. It's psychology 501. So that's orange. And then on Thursday, I have psychology 502. So orange and yellow. Then I got a set of orange and yellow slash pockets, and there are research articles that I need to read for those classes in addition to my textbook studies. And so I printed out, yes, You heard that right. Let you put your surprise face on, as my sister would say. I printed out all of the research articles. I just read things better on paper, and then I can read them. I can have them in the car, whatever. I just love it. I also downloaded the full articles into a Dropbox, and I created a new Dropbox for school, and I created a folder for each class. I know, you guys. Do you hear this? I'm getting digitally organized. So I saved all of those articles into the correct folder so that if I need it online or if I want to share it, then if I need to go back to it, I have it online. But let's be clear, I'm going to use the paper copy. So I have those already all printed out in my slash pockets. I have decided to use my portable Navy Damask basket. I've never used the portable Navy Damask. That's going to be my school bag. And so in the school bag, I have my red research folder. Behind that, I have red orientation. So the orientation week, all the activities are in there. Then I have the orange Psych 501. And then I have the orange slash pockets of the research for that. Then I have the yellow 502. And then the research for 502 behind that. Green. The green slash pocket is my admission to a PhD program. So I have my 2022 application folder, and then I have a folder of things that are ready to apply in 2023. Hopefully, fingers crossed, I will be applying before the end of the year. And then the blue color, because blue is your team's color, I have a blue slash pocket for the faculty at Fielding. I have a blue slash pocket for my colleagues at Fielding. And I have a blue slash pocket. Oh, that's at home. What's the other one? I have a third one. I can't remember what it is right now. So how I organize my slash pockets, like I'll think about the orientation slash pocket because I just finished that one. So the red slash pocket is my orientation slash pocket. So I printed out my checklist, and then you guys, don't be surprised. I print out everything, every assignment I need to do, every time I turn in an assignment, like I just print it all out. So I went into all the different places and I printed out every single thing that I was going to need, and I put it in the front of my slash pocket. And as I completed and turned in my assignments, I put in the back of the slash pocket on the back side, the completed assignment and the notes for how to complete the assignment. Now I will go through these slash pockets at some point and be like, oh yeah, that's turned in and accepted, and I don't need to keep that. But like, I have the new student orientation handbook, which is like 24 pages long, and I highlighted so many things. Like, I'm going to need to reference that in a couple of months and probably all year, because it tells you who to contact when you register your next classes. It just tells you all kinds of stuff, like your handbook. Like, you need to have that. So I'll put that in the back. And then I do the same for my classes. So Psychology 501, I printed out the full syllabus. I read the full syllabus. I put it in the back of the slash pocket. And then in the front of the slash pocket, I made a list of all the assignments and when everything was due. And then I took it to the next level and I tabbed my books. So when I tabbed my books, I actually, like, if you think of your book, if you think of the Bible or a cookbook or something like that, that has tabs where you could just flip to the next chapter. I did that in my textbooks, only I created the tabs with our 2.0 tabs. And on each tab, I would write the due date of when that chapter had to be read by in order that it needs to be read. So when I pick up my textbook and I go to the next tab and I look at that date, it will prioritize my reading based on what is due when. And if I see a date that is sooner than another one, then I'll just read that class first. Okay, so that's what I've done so far for all of that. The unusual slash pockets that I have that I don't think many of the other students have, or I don't know, but I think is really setting me up for the PhD portion of what I'm doing is, as I said, Organize 365 has already done research, and we have used 45 or 50 research articles already in our literature review, and there's a draft that we had started for another research study. We have two publications already. We've published a poster. And then inside of some of our other publications, we've cited other research. And so I went and found all those articles. I printed all of those. I put those all in green slash pockets. So green slash pockets, and I have a green Sunday basket for this, is the color of articles that Organize365 has already used in our research. Blue/pockets, and I have a blue Sunday basket for this. Blue articles are research articles that I like or I'm interested in that are about housework, home organization, division of work at home, anything that I have come across that I think is interesting or I might want to add to the research puzzle that Organize365 is doing. So like, for example, last summer I read the book, The Secret History of Home Economics. In the back of that book is like so many references to research articles. I want to look up every single one. And then I want to see if any of those are research articles that I want to use in my own research. I do know that when you write your PhD dissertation, that your articles need to have been from the last 5 to 7 years. But really, I'm looking for articles that are 3 to 5 years old, because by the time I publish my dissertation, that'll be 4 years from now. So, you know, you do the math. Also, Eve Rodsky's book, Fair Play, has a whole bunch of references to articles in the back there as well. So I am, while I'm in my schooling, I am already culling through articles that either Organize365 has already used in research, or I find interesting from authors I find interesting that are in the same conversation that Organize365 wants to be a part of around the work that's being done at home, by who, and how we could do less of it and how we could be more efficient with our time. And then I've reserved the color of purple/pockets for research that I'm going to include in my dissertation. Obviously, I have not been accepted into a PhD program and I'm not writing my dissertation yet. But I already know that some of these 50 articles that Organize365 has already read, and these hundreds of articles that are in these two books that I like that are on the same exact topic of what I'm using, are going to either be foundational research, or they're going to be new relevant research that I find interesting that I want to include in my dissertation. And so I have a purple Sunday basket for that. So I have a green Sunday basket for the research that we have already cited. I have a blue Sunday basket for the research that I find interesting, and I have a purple Sunday basket for research that I know I want to put in my dissertation. And my goal is, in this next 120 days, that these two boxes, the green and the blue, that I'll be able to populate those with research I find interesting or research we're already doing. And then those slash pockets, the way I'm labeling those, don't worry, it's not all paper, although it is all printed. I am also putting this in a Dropbox. I am labeling those slash pockets with the name of the authors and the year of publication on the label that I'm putting on the slash pocket. So, for example, like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it would say Maslow, and then it would have the year that that was published. Now, that has not been published in the last 3 to 5 years. And I haven't done the learning yet to find out if that's original research, but I'm guessing that it might be, just because it's cited so often. And then what I've learned so far is there's a difference between a dissertation and research that you just do as a company. A dissertation needs to have all of your sources, or the majority of your sources, to be in the last 3 to 5 years, because you want to be in the most relevant conversation that's going on in the discussion that you want to be a part of. But also, Organize365 is going to do a lot of research, you know, in the next decades, in addition to writing a dissertation. A dissertation is a school project, really. And you can publish it, and we probably will publish it, but it's not my seminal work on organizing and housework. That's not what it's for. It is a demonstration that my academic writing and my critical thinking is at the level of a doctor, and so I can be accredited as a doctor from not accredited, but see, I don't even know the words, you guys. Don't judge me. You know what I'm saying? I know that I need to do the work to be at a doctoral level, but I also know that this is not a terminal degree for me. It's not like I'm just going to get a doctorate and then I could just say I'm Dr. Woodruff. I'm getting a doctorate so that I could do lots of research. And so even if the articles that appeal to me are not doctoral level research articles, they may work in some other journal article that I write 8 years from now. So I'm creating my own library of articles that I like. And then the other thing that I want to do, is I already am seeing repeated names in a lot of this research. And I'm like, okay, I want to find that person. I want to learn about that person. I want to find out what they're doing. I want to collaborate with them in the future. So I'm also looking at like, who are the 10 to 20 people who also are super passionate about this? Like I am super passionate about this. And what are they doing? And where are they going? And how can I be their friend? All right. I think that's a good place to end here. Thank you so much for listening. I'm really enjoying sharing this part of my journey. It is completely uncharted for me. It's something I have never done before. And so I'm having to put into application a lot of the, you know, processes and in organization and increasing productivity that I've done before. So doing something completely new reminds me how habits, how routines, how planning, how organization really supports me as I go into these uncharted territories.